Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Van Dyke!
Hey, Van Dyke!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmitz, TJ Henning, and you on a Monday. Keep smiling. Maybe some of you are still partying down in the rail yard from Nebraska over Purdue. I don't want to know, not to judge, how many Boilermakers you had in celebration of a thrilling ball game yesterday. A lot of Husker hoops to hit on. We will do so. We'll get into Nebraska recruiting as signing day is Wednesday. I can't emphasize how money Wednesday is going to be here on Hail Varsity Radio. I can't guarantee who's signing, but those who do will be champions, right? Sorry, that's a Michigan line. We are loaded for Wednesday. Players, coaches, people selling popcorn at these kids' football games. I'm kidding. We are loaded with so much on Wednesday with Hail Varsity. I'm excited to, A, get the interviews. I'm excited to get signing day over. And I'm not even recruiting or playing or coaching or deciding. This is Crybaby Media Guy. But we're gearing up. Big week. Also, it's Super Bowl week.
Yeah, how about
that?
So,
as in tradition, we will have Huskers that won or played in Super Bowls throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them to pick from. Jake Milhuizen didn't play in a Super Bowl, but I would have thrown him the ball in the end zone. Husker standout. Jake going to be with us in 15 minutes. His thoughts on Nebraska moving forward. Halfway point of Big Ten play right now. And just a game under 500. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Uncle Charlie, going to be with us in 1 hour. His thoughts as signing day closes. And he'll give us a thought or two on some of the defensive line guys. Aaron Sorensen of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Aaron's been doing more and more on our show, and we are thankful for that. She's done a great job with recruiting. She's done a great job with analysis and coverage. So Aaron Sorensen will be with his numbers to dive in. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. We'll get you the recap on the recruiting weekend. Also, some guys that are teetering, perhaps, on signing their name to Nebraska Wednesday. But we'll start with Husker basketball. Just because of what you were able to either witness watching it yesterday or in person, and it's not often I walk away and go, how did that team lose to Nebraska? And it's not a shot at Nebraska.
Mm-mm.
And that's a game Purdue's going to go 80 points. We have the advantage inside with two ogres.
Yeah.
And we don't miss from three-point land.
Man.
What happened? And to be honest, it was from an officiating, because we were whining about officiating Friday. Some of us were. So, I mean, it was no blood, no foul type rules yesterday at PBA.
Oh.
For both sides.
Majorly inconsistent yesterday.
Oh, I mean, the three-second call on Purdue.
Yeah, and then that foul on Glenn, and then that foul on Jordy with the block.
Jordy may have kidney punched the dude 17 times during yesterday, but that's not number five.
No,
that wasn't number five. There's 15 other fouls you can call both ways.
Yep.
But at that point in the game, and then you get the dirty three-second makeup call.
Oh.
Now, I mean, there was a campsite, there were tents, there was not a lot of movement out of the lane by Lurch and the former fat guy. I mean, Purdue just set up shop down there.
Yeah.
But my Lord, how good a ball game was that? I had a chance to take Junior and little Bolte yesterday. It was awesome. It was fun. It was fun because the way things started and it was kind of slow, you're like, it's 9-2, and is this thing going to happen? Is it going to be a you know, kind of a, is this going to snuff Nebraska basketball out for the 2016-2017
yeah.
season?
When you were down 18-7 first 9 minutes, sure. It did not look good.
No, the largest lead was 9-ish to 11 for Purdue, mm-hmm. and then Nebraska got up 8. And then all of a sudden you blink and that game gets to 83-80. It turned into a hell of a finish.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd go in spurts where each team would have three possessions like they were blindfolded, miss shots, and then there'd be a spurt. There'd be a 17-10 run or an 11-4 run. And it was just good basketball. Listen, if Purdue plays like that against anybody else, they win, and they probably win by 15. What you got to mark up yesterday, too, is Nebraska's resolve. I know it's trendy. I know it's easy to say. But in this case, the shoe fits. The instance is real with how this team is. I like this team. I like how they play. I like how they keep fighting. I love the talent. And when it hits, and you have guys like Jack and Jariah who've been through the ups and downs, what you got on this basketball team's character?
Mm-hmm.
You might have some pouting that goes on. You might have some attitudes that go on during practice. It's all part of growing up. It is. And right now, you're going to do as Coach Miles says, or you're going to be watching. And guys decided to respond. And a lot of times in today's day and age of you're the next greatest thing before you can start shaving, kids will take their ball and go home. And that hasn't happened with Ty Webster. Jack is kept engaged. And even Jariah, who whenever he goes in after people screaming, where's Horn at? He usually comes in and responds.
Mm-hmm.
And my oh my did he respond, 7-12 from an efficiency standpoint.
Yeah.
And then you have the 6-11 from three-point land. And it wasn't just the threes that Horn and Jack hit. But my God, there's something to be said about timing. The timing. Like Horn's three in the corner.
Yep.
Nebraska only had 2 threes in the second half go down. But they had one that tied things up at 73. Right?
I believe so.
I mean, because, you know, 2 minute mark, 2:15 mark, you're down 5. You're like, okay, Purdue's going to go inside. You're going to either hack the hell out of them and they're going to hit their free throws or they're going to score. And Nebraska was incredible defensively. Down low, Purdue didn't miss shots. To their credit, they countered with great ball movement around the horn, out of the double team. And Nebraska was a count late, but it was more so of what Purdue did, in my opinion, than Nebraska having their head up there, you know what, defensively. That wasn't the case. Purdue was just better at getting out of that double team for the three. And they were contested threes, and my Lord, they didn't miss until the last 15 seconds. And part of me, and I'll let you jump in here because I'm just babbling, part of me was like, okay, the way I took the crowd, they're waiting to exhale and finally get the win. It's like you're up two, you go 1-for-2 at the free throw line. You get another stop defensively, you go 1-for-2 at the free throw line. Finally, the clock ran out, but Purdue still had a shot to force overtime with about 5 seconds left. Finally, once that buzzer hit, you could walk out of there if you didn't leave with 3 minutes left because some of you were afraid of traffic. Finally, you could rejoice, but you're just waiting for it to get over and let your full emotion out of happiness that you beat and knocked out Purdue. But what a gutty effort. Mm-hmm. What a job by two guys that have been benched. And really, Glenn was 3-7. He had some key shots to get him going in the first half,
mm-hmm.
but there wasn't Glenn Watson Jr.'s fingerprints all over this game. Ty, from an efficiency standpoint, wasn't great. 5-15. Once in a while, he'd finish at the rim because there were redwoods in front of him, and he kind of got dinged.
Mm-hmm.
But this game was about Jariah. This game was about Jack. And as many times as people around me, and there's a lot of you, and it's okay, freak out about Jacobson missing down low. The guy just has no quit.
Mm.
He has no quit defensively. He has no quit from a hustle standpoint. And the putback to give them the lead for the final was vintage Jacobson, where you're kind of PO'd all game about how could you miss that? And then he'll step back and hit 3 of his last 4 shots. And then he gets the taparoo to go up, where you just want to hug the dude because he is such a grinder. And he's just so blue collar. So this was an awesome win. This was a great win for Nebraska. This was a roster win where everybody chipped in and there's no way you should beat Purdue like you did, let alone out-rebound them offensively and defensively, and certainly not without Easy Ed, without Edward in there.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to save the crowd talk for later, but tell you this, if Purdue shoots better from you from the floor, three-point, and the free throw, your chances are very good.
That's two out of three,
you're done. Yeah, they do all three, and you somehow still win this game. I mean, they shot lights out from three, 14 threes at nearly a 60% clip. And for Nebraska basketball to continue what they're doing, the way they started 3-0, I know they're not a good three-point shooting team, but they have to shoot well if they want to win. And this game, they shot 53% from three. Obviously, McVay, Horn stepped up huge. You brought up Jacobson. Jacobson threw up three times in that first half.
I know.
Had to get an IV.
We're not talking about his shot.
Yeah,
at the rim.
No, yeah, still feeling the flu that he had at Northwestern.
Heading back to the locker room to go two fingers for thinner thighs.
So gutty performance for that guy. Jacobson always brings it. And then this guy should be redshirting. He didn't start playing basketball till high school, but I thought Jordy played really well yesterday. He's obviously still going to have mistakes, but how big was that and one he had under 2 minutes left? I mean, that was
big.
Well,
he was just sick and tired of it, and he adjusted on the fly well against Swanigan, where he was able to put his shoulder down, keep his feet, fake once, go up, and then had the soft touch. And then he hit his free throw. Got to love me some Jordy.
Yep.
I mean, he's good stuff. And for as maddening as this team is to watch with their hands, or lack thereof at times, man, they came up big yesterday, and they just fought. I mean, we're going 80s cliches here. I'm sorry, but there's no other better way to describe it with how I feel about this team and what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, people want to jump on this team's wagon too. And the bigger picture of this is, A, you stop the 5-game losing streak, but B, it's not unheard of to get hot again. Okay?
This team has been going on runs all year, whether wins or losses.
It's kind of like their offense.
Yeah.
Are they on fire or are they hard to watch? You get one or the other.
It's the roller coaster we've talked about all season.
It's this roller coaster, and they threw their helmet off, and they're just letting the wind blow in their hair now. So maybe they got a pretty emotional win against Michigan Sunday. They had to have that. They are nothing great this year. You've beaten them when they've been awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe Nebraska gets hot again, and again, you're 4-5 through nine. You have nine left. Why not make them think about it? I'm not talking tournament. I'm just talking about just as a Nebraska fan to keep you involved and interested and locked in there. Go see what they do Thursday. You could be 5-5 in Big Ten play, where this thing's still wide open.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at the wins they have.
You're tied for sixth right now at 4-5 in the conference.
You're tied for sixth, and you've been swept by Northwestern, which isn't a bad thing now.
No.
They've been close losses.
Northwestern's finally going to the tournament this year.
Right. You've won at Maryland, who will probably be the best-seeded team. Indiana's kind of a hellhole right now.
Yeah, with their injuries.
But they're injured. You still won there when they were good. And then you beat Purdue. So it's all good. Don't suck. I mean, the Rutgers thing, I don't know what to tell you, but Rutgers did take Wisconsin to overtime. You got a chance here. You got a chance here to make your own statement at Nebraska and get hot again. You've been through the downward spiral of five straight, where any way you found to lose, you invented ways, it seemed like, to get hurtful losses. Now you got a big win. Build on it, and then maybe, just maybe, you get Ed back.
Yeah, and you need him back. You only played seven guys yesterday, realistically. You gave Roby 4 minutes, but he's just not been able to be found lately the last couple of games.
Well, and look at...
Look at Horn stepping up.
When you get exiled to the bench,
can motivate you.
Yeah, you do one of two things. You get better and take the coaching, or you sit and pout, and no one has sat and pouted. They've always responded or found a way to respond. I'm not saying Roby will do that, but I think Roby's a good kid. And I think he can play ball. He's got a lot of talent. This roster's fun to think about.
Oh,
this roster's extremely fun to think about with what they are. And when they have kind of caught it in a bottle, where they're at. Recruiting news and notes. We'll talk some more Nebraska football later on in the show. But Kurt Raftall is committed to Nebraska. Raftall is the tight end out of Carmel, Indiana. He's a kid that is... Well, he's really talented, obviously, but he's a guy that you look at from a Nebraska personnel grouping standpoint, and he can be on the field a lot. 6'8", 230. And Jake Jensen of Hale Varsity, great write-up. And Jake played high school and college football, so he's got a little really pretty unique eye for film. So you look at Rafdahl that has played on the end, he's played in the slot, and he's played at H-back. So wherever Riley wants to put him, the guy's somewhat familiar. Not Big Ten familiar, but he's not unfamiliar with the different asks of a tight end, be it H-back or on the end of the line, or you go Gronk crazy and throw him at the slot. It works. The guy can block. He's a beast. And his team was really good, and he was a guy who stood out among five other guys that are Division I offers. So that is impressive for Nebraska to get him. It's impressive for Nebraska to beat Iowa for him, frankly. Okay? There's a lot of hope and belief in this offense and how awesome it will be for tight ends. That was the sales pitch. And Iowa can show you guys playing on Sundays that have thrived in their offense and gone on to the next level. Nebraska can't yet, but the pitch was, let's start it, because you'll love this offense if you're a tight end. So Rafdahl is huge. What's happening with Jameer Calvin? Guy Thomas will tell you. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, Jay Bird will be in tomorrow. He's getting geared up for signing day. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, hope you're all right. On a Monday with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, your chance at a six-month subscription online to the premium side of HailVarsity.com shortly. As we welcome in Husker standout on the hardwood, the pride of Lincoln Southeast, Jake Mielheisen with us. Jake, are you still smiling about yesterday? How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. I've been smiling since yesterday about 5:30, man.
I bet, man. And I was talking to TJ to start the show off, and TJ, I think, just sleeps under the bleachers at Devaney and then makes his way to PBA. I mean, TJ's a throwback basketball guy. I took my little guy and one of his little buddies yesterday, and they were trying all sorts of voodoo hexes to try and have Purdue miss free throws. That didn't work out, but they missed at the buzzer. Nebraska got it done. How much do you put on this game moving forward? What can a game like this do for Nebraska?
I think it's huge. You look at, you know, Nebraska's last 2 weeks, and you know, we got punched in the gut a couple times, and I think our confidence was hurting a little bit, and you know, losing Ed, and I think guys were kind of starting to maybe question themselves. So winning that game yesterday was huge to beat a team like Purdue, who you know, has two legit big guys and has some pretty solid guards. I mean, hopefully it'll give them some confidence moving forward and show that we can continue to play with anybody in the Big Ten.
Jake, were you surprised Painter didn't play Haas and Swanigan together more?
I was, and I haven't watched Purdue play a ton, but you know, when those two guys were in together, I mean, they did that high-low a couple times, and there wasn't really any way that we could stop it. And I was surprised that he didn't do that. I know Haas was hurt a little bit as well, so I didn't know if that played a factor into his playing time. But, you know, those two guys are huge. And I wasn't able to go to the game yesterday, but talking to some folks that were at the game, they said that Haas in person is just a beast. And they were asking me the same question, why didn't he play more?
You're right. I mean, when they would have Haas down low and then Swanigan, you know, I mean, I remember the people in front of me said the game said, oh, expletive, the guy can hit threes too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he's 6'8". He's 6'8", and Swanigan can bomb from outside, and then Haas will put his hard hat in and pitch the tent and just stay in the lane. I mean, you guys are right on. Why didn't they go to that lineup more?
Yeah, and Jordy was infallible early. At,
Before
Jacobson
he sneezed, he had three.
Yeah, and you had Jacobson with the flu. It just seemed like they could have really crushed us more on the boards.
And I thought the same thing. And when you looked at the stats, and I think we rebounded them, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 40-35.
I read something funny today that Jack McVay had more blocks than Haas did or something like that. He had two blocks. And it's just like, it's kind of weird, but I think we just scrapped the heck out of them yesterday. You look at the final couple minutes when Jacobson was guarding Swanigan down low and we didn't bring the double team at that point. You know, he held his ground and we got one turnover and then he had 3 seconds and, you know, we just had guys scrapping. I think that we were getting the 50-50 loose balls and, they were bigger and probably stronger than us, but we were just a scrappier bunch yesterday.
No, it was kind of an attitude win, and it's easy to hear the term, well, just be tougher, be more physical, man up, I mean, whatever cliche you want to throw out there, but, I mean, it rang true yesterday with Nebraska just kind of willing itself without Ed. Ty was kind of dinged. You didn't have a great game from Glenn. And two guys that she told to go sit by the Gatorade cooler for part of this year really responded. McVay's been ongoing, but bit Horn. Nebraska can play with confidence moving forward. You said that. What about Horn here? Do you think he has transitioned now full-time to, I'm going to play defense and my offense will come? Do you think his attitude has changed?
It had to have. I mean, you know, we were talking after the game in Northwestern, you know, why didn't he play? And it was basically Miles' decision because he didn't practice hard. And you got to respect that. If a guy's not going to practice hard, he's not going to be able to play in games. And you saw in the first half that he was actually getting his rear end down and trying to guard some people and flying around and rebounding and just making those hustle plays where normally you didn't see Horn doing that. So hopefully he got the message because we can use him, you know, without question on the offensive end. And he even made some good defensive plays yesterday. You haven't seen that from Horn yet. So hopefully he got that message loud and clear, and he's got to play some D if he wants to see the floor.
So Kenya Hunter yesterday had the scout for Purdue, and he was the one implementing all those double teams on the big guys. But Purdue hits 12 threes a game. They hit 14 yesterday at nearly a 60% clip. I mean, would that have given you hesitance to start doing that double teaming, or just because you're that small you felt like you had to do that?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those deals, pick your poison, because if they didn't double it, we would have just got annihilated down low. So you'd rather have those guys shooting from 20 feet. But, you know, if you would have told me that Purdue was going to shoot 60% from three and make 14 threes, I'd have said we would have got beaten by 10. So it just shows we were able to score on them as well. And we got some crucial defensive stops when we needed to. But we were flying around in that double team. I mean, guys were coming hard at their big guys, and then we were rotating good. And I haven't seen us play that cohesive of defense yet where we're communicating and really rotating. There was a few missteps here and there, but for the most part, pretty dang solid on D yesterday.
Tell me about Jordy. What's next for him? Great outing, 6 points in the second half, played great defense, even danced a little bit after the game. So now you have Sparty coming in. What's a good bar for Jordy moving forward?
He's come a long ways in just 1 year. I mean, you could tell how raw he was at the beginning of the year. He's playing better. He's learning the game and how fast it is. And I think if he can come in and give us, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and within those 10, 15 minutes, he's given us, you know, a handful of rebounds. And I don't mind him. Obviously, I didn't like him fouling out yesterday, but he can come in and be that guy and foul the guys when he needs to, block some shots. But even offensively, if he can give us, you know, 4 to 6 points in those 10 or 15 minutes, you know, a 4-and-4 guy, 5-and-5 guy, that's pretty much what we need him. He just needs to be a presence down low for us.
So Thursday night, Michigan State comes to town, but it's also Ty Lue night. You're a Nebraska kid, went to Lincoln Southeast, played for the Nebraska basketball team. Do you have a favorite highlight, memory, or story from watching Ty Lue playing or when you got to meet him for the first time?
Oh, I'm trying to think of my best T. Lue story, but I guess growing up, my favorite Nebraska memory is when Jamar Johnson hit the, I'm going to say what, an alley-oop three-pointer from the corner to beat KU. That's my favorite. But,
well done.
I don't know if I have any specific T. Lue memories. I mean, I wish he would have stayed one more year for us, but I can't blame the guy. So I'm excited he's coming back, and he's obviously a big part of our program. But Michigan State Thursday, huge game that we can win at home.
You know, it's a huge one, and right now you're 4-5, halfway through the Big Ten. who are you sold on in the Big Ten, Jake? And who do you think could fade? And who can Nebraska maybe move past if they use this Purdue win, this momentum, and kind of start a win streak, because it's been up and down in the Big Ten for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's been a weird year in the Big Ten. I mean, I think there's a big log jam at 4 and 5, and then I think Michigan stays at 5 and 4. Mm-hmm. So you beat them, you jump up, you got Minnesota, you got Ohio State, and Nebraska, and all those teams are kind of right there, or stuck in the middle. So if we can beat Michigan State at home, I know we have Wisconsin at home. I know we have Penn State. So those are all winnable games. I think, and looking at the remaining schedule, we have 9 games left. I would say, 7-2 would be extreme as far as, I'm going to say, optimistic, where we can realistically go 6-3. But I think all the games are winnable. I really do. I don't think there's one team that we can't beat, but winning on the road is extremely hard. In the Big Ten, I know we're at Ohio State, but we've proven we can play with them. They're not out there blowing people out. So it'll be interesting. I think if we can go 7-2, that's where I'm hoping for. But I know that sounds somewhat out of the realm right now.
Has Jack McVay, with his recent mini resurgence, re-solidified himself as the best 3-point shooter on the team, or do you need to still see some more from him?
Well, I think he shot the ball well. I mean, he was 1 of 5 at Northwestern and missed 2 big threes from the corner that were wide open. He's one of our better 3-point shooters. I know him and Horn and I'll probably say Ty at this point are probably our best three shooters. But
okay.
I'm not going to give the nod to Jack McVay quite yet. I need to see some more consistency from him.
So I would probably lean Glenn, just because off the dribble he's money, and his catch and shoot three has really improved this year. So I just think he can hit you both ways from three.
It has. He loves going right.
Yep.
And pulling up, and I think that's a harder shot than going left for a righty.
Yes.
But his pull up three, and even his 3-point shot off the catch has gotten a lot better. So you throw. I mean, we have guys that can make it. We just need to be more consistent.
Yep.
I think we're shooting the right shots. I think we're getting the guys that are open and making the right decisions. Even in, like, if you use the Northwestern game, I think we were making the right basketball plays. We just weren't finishing them. And we were, thank God we did that against Purdue. So I think I like our team. I've always liked our team. We just got a couple of gut punches in the 2 that we lost by 1. But I think we can beat anybody in the Big Ten.
Jake Mealeisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, former Husker standout, Lincoln Southeast product. Jake, about 90 seconds, a little less than. What's your takeaway here? Is Nebraska not getting calls at the rim? I know it, and you got to play through it. But do you think Nebraska's been kind of slighted a bit from your viewpoint?
I'll say yes.
Okay.
And I'll base that a lot on, if you watch the Northwestern game, on how many times Ty Webster took the ball to the rack, and he didn't shoot his first free throws until I think it was like 5 or 6 remaining in the game.
Wow.
And if he was in there, I would say 10 times at least, driving the lane and going up trying to make a layup, which he made a lot of them, but he didn't get one call. And for a senior guy like that to not get a call, I feel like we're not getting the calls that we should, especially at home. I can understand not getting calls on the road. That's part of playing on the road. But I don't feel like we're getting the calls at home either.
Jake, we'll catch up again, man. Look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks for a few minutes. Always love your thoughts on Nebraska.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Jake
Mealeisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And you can find him, I'm sure, down getting geared up for Nebraska and Sparty on Thursday night. What a win for Nebraska. That's something I wanted to get his take on, because he did the call. At Northwestern, is it whining or is there some truth to it? And Nebraska just tends to get hosed going to the rim. At Jake Mule on Twitter. We'll talk about the crowd and PBA on Hail Varsity next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Plenty of recruiting thoughts coming up with Aaron Sorensen. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, if you're out for a good time with friends or family and you have a drink or two, and someone offers you a ride home, but you say no because you think you're okay, think again. Mixing alcohol and driving, never good for anyone. You can take a life, you can lose yours, you can be arrested, you can go to jail, lose your license, pay fines, legal fees, any way you look at it. You drink, you drive, you lose. From the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Let's talk PBA crowd for a minute.
Let's do it.
And here's what I'm thinking. I think the fans want to go nuts. I think they bring it at a pretty good level. I think they're afraid to, after Ohio State, to get hurt. And I think they're also used to being great fans where, this is going through my mind, this is me people watching yesterday, where you get up, but then maybe a couple people around you aren't up, so are you the a-hole that's blocking someone's view behind you?
Yeah.
And I know you're supposed to scream and cheer and be nuts and be a difference, be a 12th man. And Coach Miles was complimentary, the team's complimentary. But you've heard it louder. You've heard it louder. You've brought it more. And it seemed like, I think the biggest part of that is they're afraid to go all in investment-wise emotionally because they don't want another Ohio State to happen. They don't want to get hurt again.
Well, maybe they should start cheering sooner before just the last. See, man, like.
It seemed like a morgue until a couple of threes were hit, i.e. Horn in that first.
Yeah.
After the 15, under 15, under 16 timeout, when they kind of got back into it, and then they took the lead or they pulled close. And then they eventually went up going into halftime. I mean, they take three steps forward, take a step back, two more steps forward, two steps back, and then the crowd would eventually rise up, and then it got a little funky. It was good in a funky in a good way. The last 2 minutes to 90 seconds. I mean, once Horn hit that three to tie it up, once you had, I mean, the way the place exploded with passion and energy after Jacobson's go ahead tip, 75-74.
Yeah, and his fist pump. Yeah,
I mean, it was cool.
It was great.
And at the end of that Northwestern Nebraska first half 14-0 spurt, where Ty hit the buzzer beater at half. I mean, the place can bring it.
It can.
It just, you tell me, man, you're the aficionado on crowd decorum.
Yeah, it's been lackluster this year, the home crowd. I've been trying to figure out the reasons why. I think I finally narrowed it down yesterday.
They're scared to commit.
That could be a little bit of it. And you brought up a good point. I have two elderly women who sit behind me, and I would like to stand up more, but sometimes, you know, I can feel, not that they're mean, but I just can feel like, oh, I wish this young kid would just sit down. But
there's no homie, don't yeah. play that with the popcorn bag that's half eaten, and they yeah. jack you on
and
the
they're
head.
Nice. They're nice.
There's not a hidden hammer in there to you get know, you to sit down.
Yeah, they asked about my grandpa always doing all that, but it's like, I want to stand up, but I don't want to block your view, and I think that goes through a lot of people's minds. But that place was not loud until the last 3 minutes of the game. Same with the Iowa game.
So
it wasn't loud until the last 2 minutes plus the overtimes, and then it was great.
Are you whining that at least it got loud?
Yeah, at least it got loud, but why aren't you into the game more?
It could be a morgue. I mean, you got to be 18-4 for anyone to show up to Northwestern.
It's
not that bad.
To me, I think what really stood out yesterday was you're in the middle of the school year and the red zone just isn't bringing it. Like the
you're calling out your peers.
The O, well, I used to be in there, yeah. But the O, the yellow
on
defense.
Is there an axe to grind here? Or
no,
is this?
No. Final year in the red zone, first year in the PBA. We brought it, man. That Florida Gulf Coast, Wisconsin no-hit Sunday, my ears were ringing. I've never heard that place out loud either there or the Bob. But the red zone.
Gulf Coast was cool.
Oh, they're not as loud. And then that one side behind the hoop, the student section behind the hoop, that's not full up all the way. And they're barely making any noise or waving their hands when free throws are going on. That place, that first year, we only had one home loss. And it was a one-point loss to Michigan, who had a half-court shot.
Chip in.
That place was electric. Why is that? Just obviously losing seasons, I get that. But look, the team needs you a little bit out there. You got to provide some oomph.
You can like this team because they've already done what some of the teams previously didn't do, and that they gave you pleasant surprises. They've got some wins under their belt. They're pretty impressive. The last couple of years, and this is, I'm going to chalk this up to the Pettaway era, where you didn't capitalize on what could have been.
That second year, yeah.
You got selfish a bit with got to get mine. And there was different dudes on that team that said, I got to get mine.
Yeah, and who maybe didn't love basketball or something like that. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you had different – one loved it too much. One liked what basketball brought. And then one was, I'm getting my education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had that three-headed monster that never, ever played well after the first year of success. Last year, you had the way you closed out. 2 years ago, you just had a – discombobulated mess. This year, listen, I know you're still below 500, but you've shown glimpses. And here's what you got left from a schedule standpoint. You have Michigan State, you have Wisconsin, you have Penn State, you have Illinois, you have Michigan. You owe Michigan. Illinois is awful. Penn State could bite you just because that's what Penn State does.
Mm-hmm.
You want to overlook them and pretend they don't have basketball until they beat about three teams a year with their token five or six conference wins, that you ask yourself, how the hell did that happen? Michigan State is struggling. They got to have Thursday night if they're going to get into the NCAA tournament.
Or the NIT, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking, Michigan State doesn't play the NIT. Wisconsin's awesome, but they're beatable. Your road games, you're at Iowa. You've already beaten them. I don't like sweeping a team on the road. It's much easier to steal one on the road, and then when you get them at home. Ohio State, sorry, just don't feel it. Sparty, you hope you split with, even though you're 2-0 up there. Then Minnesota. Minnesota's got a lot of talent, but they're kind of wayward themselves around that 14-7, 14-8 type number, and they're 3-5 just like Ohio State, just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Where Ohio State's a lot like Nebraska, where they found different ways to be miserable with losses. But I love what this Nebraska team can do when it's on, and maybe they springboard off of this win, and it's going to take you as a fan base to get creative and into it, despite maybe their offense not giving you something to cheer about. That's a part of it, too.
Yeah.
They've been a freaking nightmare on offense sometimes, where it's hard to even watch, let alone cheer for anything.
I agree, and that's mostly changed in the conference. But, you know, I've listened to you and Kranak talk a lot on the Saturdays. Just, you know, it seemed like Memorial Stadium was kind of a bit of a cathedral a little bit, but then it's really picked up the last couple of years. Why do you go to sporting event and not cheer, just to sit there? Like, I guess to me that doesn't run in my blood.
Well, part of it's to be seen. Hey, look, man, I can be...
Are we Creighton fans now?
No.
Be to be seen and go drink beer in the beer garden?
Like, part of it is... No, it just is. I mean, it's the thing you do, because you can. It's a,
I guess.
No, I'm not saying that's why you go. Mm-hmm. That's not why I'd go. That's not why I'd buy season tickets. Not me. But I think there's a high percentage of folks out there that it's kind of what you do. You go to Nebraska football, you go to Nebraska basketball games, and it's not there to be problematic for the other team. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, hour one. About 10 minutes away from Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. And Aaron Sorensen on recruiting. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, hope you're doing all right. How about your friends at Zipline? That's a 5-star. I will tell you that. There's no wavering. Chocolate Stout, Baltic Porter. They have been released recently. They're in stores. They're on location. Both tap rooms have them. And, of course, tremendous winter beers to be shared with friends. Find your way to Zipline today. Lemon Drop Pale Ale, also very drinkable. Available in six-packs, ziplinebrewing.com. And here are their two tap rooms in Lincoln, Westo, and 56th and Pine Lake, the Modern German Beer Hall. A guy named Schmidt loves going to beer halls that are German-esque, and Zipline's got an amazing 124 taps. Great community. Folks you don't know, but you soon will, because it's relaxing and fun. Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 6, Zipline, their 56th and Pine Lake Modern German Beer Hall. And if you're outside of Lincoln, out west or central or northeast or wherever you are along the Hail Varsity Network and you're making your way to Lincoln, make time for Zipline. Brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. Marcus and the gang are awesome people, and they make an amazing product, 40 beers and counting at Zipline. Okay, did you hear the one about the Miami message board site that created controversy, created drama for, wait for it, the University of Florida? See, I always, if Miami's going to give hell to another in-state Florida school, I always kind of thought that Miami hated Florida State more than they hated Florida. I'm wrong. I'm absolutely wrong. This went viral. Nobody fact-checked. You can read about it in the hot reads on HailVarsity.com. But a Miami website that covers recruiting, as a joke, some dude posted, "Did you see the video out there about the two University of Florida assistants handing cash to a five-star?" And the whole world went, Really? This was picked up via Twitter and other social media and ran with. Two Florida coaches handing cash to prospect. All thanks to a Miami Hurricane site giving both middle fingers to the Gators. That is hilarious.
No love lost.
In the last 4 days, Florida assistants have had to get on the phone, talk to recruits, say, no, 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 there's no NCAA nuclear device coming our way. Isn't going to happen. It's all BS. It's straight up all false. It's a false story. Meanwhile, Uncle Luke is paying for your dinner, Miami fan. That's hilarious. Yeah, think about making up just awful, untrue rumors about your rival. It's always somewhat civil. Buried stay out of Omaha. Nebraska wouldn't go down to Jinx. It's a gentleman's agreement. Now, Kansas and Rozier, that was off limits by Barry. But Nebraska won it. Okay, Coach McBride next on a Monday with Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better, better,
we get better, better,
we get beat, beat,
we get beat, beat,
boom, beat, beat,
boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. And it is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied with financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus. Emeritus, protecting your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also taking care of those who work for you, protecting employees with retirement, dental, and, of course, hearing plans. Emeritus, 130 years of counting, giving you peace of mind. Proud to bring you Charlie McBride on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we're getting down to it. Signing day's Wednesday. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I don't have to sweat it out.
Let me tell you, you said it, man. You said it right on 100%, sweating it out. And is there anything like it? I mean, you loved what you did for a number of years, coaching and teaching and being with kids. But all that said, was the week up to signing day or the hours before signing day, was that a major detractor? You're like, my God, this is taking years away from me.
Well, some of the kids are shaky, you know. You're just hoping and waiting to see if it, you know, their letters came through. And but I, you know, I don't remember any real major event, but you're always prepared for one, you know, because there's really you know, nothing that you can do about it now. I mean, once they, you know, if they say they're coming and they don't come, then there's really nothing you can do about it. Can't fight back because it's signed. And, you know, that's probably the only thing. I think it's just the anticipation of everything, you know, that builds up over the year, all the work you've done and put in on the players and, you know, just hope that you've done a good job. That's about all you can do.
Coach, was there a point in the recruiting process where you had to make a really tough decision to move on from a kid just because you weren't getting an answer and you had another prospect? Ready to say what? Yes?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons when we went out and recruited, we had a number at each position. For example, we're going to take let's say one tight end, five offensive linemen, you know, and you had a number for each position. And so as you went out, a lot of them are recruiting by position now. We didn't really do that, but we had areas more, and so we were recruiting. I was recruiting kids on the other side of the ball and stuff like that. And but I think, you know, the whole when you start, you know, just thinking about, you tell the kid that we're going to take three defensive linemen, and you're one of them that we've offered. Now, you know, we've offered. We have, of those kids, we have eight we're recruiting. And the first three that say they're coming, they're coming. I mean, and then we have to tell you that we're filled. If you know. So they have that in the back of their mind that if I don't commit, then my scholarship's maybe not going to be there. So then you get down, maybe you have two committed and you got one, you know, the rest of them hanging out. So you just tell them we have one left. And the first guy that commits is, you know, that's what it is. And so they understand from day one how that works. And and I think a lot of schools don't tell them that. Now, if there's a super duck hanging around, you know, that all of a sudden decides he wants to come, and he's a running back, and you're only taking one of them, and that would make two of them, I think you'd go with the running back and take two.
Sure.
Because you might lose somebody in another position or, you know, or something like that. But what we did with our if we had any of the kids that were scholarship players, and if we were short, which I don't remember ever being it, but the mid-semester that we would give walk-on scholarships, which would count toward next year, the next year. It would be like a gray shirt, I guess they call it now. We didn't use that term. But a lot of schools will tell these kids that, we're filled, but if you gray shirt, sit out, work out, do your thing, get a job, and then come to school at semesters, you know, then you'll be there for spring ball and so on and so forth. If you did pay your own way, you could go to school, but we couldn't pay for them to go to school. So if we had anything like that, then some of them would pay their way if they were in-state kids, and if they were out of state, they just waited, till the fall semester or the spring semester. And then they were scholarship, but they would count toward next year.
Mm-hmm. Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, let's talk a little bit about Coach Perella and just the job he's done on that defense. There's a number of prospects that have committed. They're in on a couple more, and he has really done a solid job down in the state of Texas, it appears, and John can go anywhere and recruit, I would think, but Coach Perella specifically, what makes him, in your opinion, so unique and so impressive on the trail?
He's straightforward. He's honest. He just tells you the truth. You know, a lot of coaches will come in and they, you know, they sound like a bunch of shoe salesmen. They say, well, you'll fit here, you'll fit there, you'll fit, you know, all, you know, and they're just talking out of their ears. So they don't, you know, they don't have a sound, you know, package for you that, to tell you, for example, we're going to recruit two of you, and that's the way it is. You know, we just want you to know ahead of time. Tell them, you know, how many guys are at the position, you know, how many, you know, kids are there. And we had a lot of kids, you know, that when we went, we'd be up to 140, 135 players. And so, you know, that might line you up at six or seven guys at tight end, and four of them were walk-ons, but, you know, that's the way it was. So I think that's what I think. In talking to John, a long time ago, I just said, you know, the one thing he told me, he said, well, Coach, I know I made a mistake, but he said, at least you told me the truth, and Colorado didn't do that. And then that's pretty much why he ended up coming back home, and so they told him he wanted to be a tight end. They told him he'd be a tight end. When he got him there, they told him he was going to be a defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And I told him that's what could happen to him. But, you know, so as long as you're honest with him, because if you're not, your reputation is hanging out with both the player and the family. So I think that's the best way to do it. Also, the fact that I think John, they realize when he's talking to them, they're all thinking about the NFL. And John, you know, played in it. And just the fact that he did, I think that, you know, is a little bit more of a push. But he's a family guy. I mean, he's a guy that's down to earth and, you know, and doesn't come in with a flashlight and start waving it around the room to make it look like a circus or something. You know, it's so I think that he's, you know, that's why I think he's doing. I think a lot of these parents, too, you know, read through people. And when they hear them talking about other schools and other things and stuff like that, instead of talking about their own school, sometimes, you know, they start wondering what's going on a little bit with this guy. And, you know, but that's what I think of John is. He's just a down-to-earth good person that, you know, when he says something, you can believe it.
Well, a lot of people are following what he's doing with the defensive line. And, Coach, the opportunity Nebraska has here, let's talk 3-4 for a second. And instead of a negative, well, you're switching defenses, it's now a positive that it's a defense that a lot of folks in the NFL run, some of the elite programs in college football run it. And you ran it. You ran both of them. I mean, you ran a 3-4, you ran a 4-3, and they were really good on both sides of it. Is that an advantage you think Nebraska has moving forward here, this 3-4?
Well, you know, when you talk to the players about it, now, we were a 3-4 team but played a lot of what we call in our 4-3. We played a lot of even defense.
Right.
Where we didn't cover the seven. Say, for example, against Oklahoma, it was a good defense against the option as far as our, you know, the way our secondary worked. And, you know, we found out that we were probably a little better in an even defense, which would be a 4-3 type thing. You can take that 50 defense and do a lot of things with it. I mean, you can... You know, you can move people over and, you know, have a three technique, the guy on the outside shoulder of the guard, a guy over the center and stuff like that. You can just move the tackle down in it. And so there's a lot of different ways you can move that defense around. I think one of the things that it's hard for people to understand, but we fooled our linebackers a lot. And we would, for example, if we were running an even defense, we would move our middle linebacker right up on top of the nose, not on top of the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would either blitz or he'd go drop to his position on the snap of the ball and have to, you know, play the run from there. But that takes a lot of work. And we do it with our outside people and, you know, and stuff like that. But all our linebackers would fool, and sometimes we have games where we said we're going you're on your own. You can fool if you want. You don't have to. And sometimes we told them, you're the guy. You're the only one that's going to fool this week. And So it was kind of an interesting deal that we had with our defense, that when we talk at clinics about it, we really never got into that, because it is a thing that takes players. It looks easy, but it's not. Mm. And because you're going to have to play the run out of your position when you're on the line of scrimmage, and if you're a linebacker and you're usually lined up 3 to 5 yards deep, you got to get there, you know, and play your position and move and be sure you have that gap covered. So, you know, there's it's 6-1, half a dozen mm-hmm. the other, but I think you can do a lot with it, but with the 3-4 and move people around mm-hmm. and, you know, give people different looks.
Coach, I have about 90 seconds here. Is there a school that was kind of a great rival when it came to recruiting? It seemed like you were there and they were always there.
Well, I think it's in the area that you go. And I went all the way from Detroit to eastern Kansas and through those, so I was through the Kansas City area. So each area you're in, you know, in Kansas City, you're fighting Missouri, Kansas State, and in the Big Ten area, you know, once you hit Iowa, you know, in Chicago and that whole area, that's you can look at and see how many schools are close. Like Notre Dame from Chicago is just close to 100 miles. Mm-hmm. Well, Nebraska's 500. So, you know, you had, you know, Wisconsin's 130, Northwestern's across town. You can jump on a bus and get over there, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, you had a lot of pressure on that. And then when I went back to Detroit, of course, it was Michigan and Michigan State. So mm-hmm. you're fighting two schools. But there's some kids that just have something inside them, so they want to go somewhere else. And then that. So if you find one, then you really try to get on him if he's a great player.
Well, I just think all the Chicago ties you have and a lot of the kids that found their way down here from Chicago. And, I mean, they were difference makers. They were big-time players.
Well, we had some kids from Indiana right in the Chicago area. And so it was, you know, still fighting the Big Ten, but that's usually what it is, and when you're in an area like that, it's tough on the kids' decision sometimes, but, you know, sometimes they just want to leave.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and that's part of growing up, moving away from home. Coach, we'll catch up with you next week and kind of exhale after signing day, okay?
Well, everything will come out better than you think it is. It's what will happen, you know, and I feel kind of good about what's going on, and I don't know everything, but I think there's probably some kids sitting there that haven't committed that are gonna, you know, you got a chance to get, and that'll be great if they do.
That makes Nebraska fans feel pretty good hearing that from you. I tell you that. So we'll see how things shake out, but should be fun, should be exciting. Coach, you have a great rest of your week, and try and top us. It's 50 degrees in Lincoln today.
Okay. Well, we're cold out here, so it's, you know, it's nice, though. Okay.
Take care, Coach.
Yeah, okay. Talk to you next week.
Right.
Bye now.
Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride brought to you by Emeritus. So there you go. Coach McBride says it'll turn out okay. And maybe you get some guys that you didn't think you were going to get. Old Charlie and the tea leaves. You know, a year ago, during Super Bowl week, we had a guy who went to the Super Bowl named John Perella on a lot. And then John Perella was the new defensive line coach. So, pretty incredible. Aaron Sorensen, we will talk recruiting aplenty next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk recruiting. As exciting day is inching closer and closer. Recruiting analyst with Hail Varsity and just all-around awesome storyteller, writer, and personality. Aaron Sorensen with us at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Aaron, how was the weekend?
It was good. It was wilder than I think anybody expected, especially when you throw in basketball. Talk about a weekend for Nebraska.
Basketball was a great time. I took Junior, and he still couldn't believe how many threes Purdue hit. But Nebraska found a way, and that, hey, it might jumpstart him a bit. Nebraska getting good news in the tight end realm. Kurt Rapdahl committing, and he's out of Carmel, Indiana. He is also a giant. He's 6'8". He's about 240. His high school team was tremendous with a lot of D1 prospects, and he stood out among many on that team. What do you think of Kurt and Nebraska's get here at that tight end spot?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he is just really, really welcome in the sense that, like, he is just a large human being. You can't do wrong at 6'7", 230 pounds. I mean, it's no wonder he had quite a good list of folks interested in him and, you know, makes perfect sense. I had the chance to, thankfully, have a little bit of a preview of Rapdahl's film and kind of having it broken down for me because we were suspecting he would commit to Nebraska. So we've actually had everything ready for him for up to 2 weeks, kind of knowing he was going to be a pre-National Signing Day commit. And we were pretty confident at Hill Varsity that he was going to pick Nebraska. So, I mean, he looks good on film. He has room to grow, which I think is a great piece for him. He could easily put another, you know, 20, 25 pounds on his frame, which is just going to make him exactly what Nebraska needs in a tight end from, you know, blocking and then being able to connect with some of the quarterbacks that they have on their roster. And so he's really good at, you know, run blocking. He runs routes really well. I love how Jake Jensen put it. His hands and his catch radius are great. So, I mean, there's a lot to him. He's going to have to work on his speed, you know, just technique, things like that. But those are things that if he dedicates himself to, especially at the collegiate level, should be just fine polishing. And he should be a really solid tight end option for Nebraska.
Aaron Sorensen with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We're talking signing day as it looms closer. Nebraska getting commit number 19 and Kurt Rapdahl. So you look at Kurt, he is in the boat. Tyjon Lindsey here this weekend, he is in the boat. Now, let's talk a little bit here about some of the kids that Nebraska needs to hang on to, specifically Guy Thomas. What are you hearing about the defensive end speed rusher out of Miami?
Well, I mean, there's somebody that at Hill Varsity that just posted on the premium board. I think it's you, Chris. So if people are not Hill Varsity premium, they do not have a subscription. This would be a great time because we are sharing everything that we know. But yeah, it sounds like he could be a last minute decision. He's been committed to Nebraska, but he's definitely getting some push and pull from other schools. And that, you know, I think, Chris, you were the one who pointed out on the boards, too, he's been at 3 high schools in 4 years, so that kind of goes to show a little bit about his level of commitment, which, I mean, you know, these are 17, 18-year-old kids. That's just going to be something that some of them struggle with anyway. You can kind of ask Jameer Calvin about the same thing when it comes to, you know, not being 100% sure. So I am not feeling as strong about the chances Nebraska hangs on to him when Wednesday comes around, so he's somebody that's going to add a little drama on Wednesday. I think he's keeping the drama for Nebraska on National Signing Day.
Here's my question. And with Guy, I mean, he's a fantastic player, an athlete. I mean, he is just what you want off the edge after the quarterback. I'm trying to put in my mind how Coach Perella handles drama because he's a dude that's pretty no nonsense and no BS, you know?
Correct. He, you know, every time I've ever had a chance to talk with Perella, he is kind of it's like hold no prisoners. He's very straightforward with what he feels, just sort of pushes through. And so I can't imagine that, you know, if someone was presenting a whole lot of drama to him, I don't know how much he really would entertain it. It would be very much for Perella just deal with that. I've got bigger fish to fry. I just don't see him really being a guy that buys into the drama a whole lot.
No, I don't either. And we'll see how it shakes out for Nebraska. How are you feeling here towards signing day? Damian Daniels, tremendous talent out of Dallas. Brian Thompson, Elijah Blades, as we're, you know, 3 days away. And then you got Johnson, Lewis, and Lenore. Those are really the six names out there. Give me who signs and who leaves.
Yeah, especially as we now round into the week of this is do or die, I am really feeling good about Elijah Blades. I think you will see him in the Scarlet and Cream, and part of that has to do with the – you just look at some of, like, Tyshawn Lindsey. People are, like, literally creating hashtags about Elijah Blades in Nebraska. So I think I don't foresee him either going back to Florida or picking anyone else. I think Nebraska is a pretty much a done deal with him. Joseph Lewis, you know, what's hard about him is his heart has always seemed to be at USC. So I know he has told many people that Nebraska is still very much in play, and that could be possible. But I think if Nebraska is going to win out with him, they're going to have to come up with something that, you know, takes the hometown team out of it. And I'm just not sure between now and Wednesday that change of heart will necessarily happen. As for Lenore, I'm still feeling like it's Oregon for him. One thing that kind of caused a little bit of a stir on Twitter over the weekend is he had shared a photo of him and what I believe his girlfriend, and there was all of this Oregon stuff all over the wall. But if I remember correctly, she was a runner at Oregon, and I believe she's transferring. So there's a good chance that was her Oregon stuff. So I remember seeing a little bit of a, oh no, what does that mean? And I think that wasn't his. Then you have Michael Onyemaobi, who I have talked to him briefly since his visit, and he had a really, really good time. He loves Nebraska. I'm leaning personally toward this being his final destination is Nebraska. He got along extremely well with Tyshawn Lindsey. Tyshawn loves him as much as Michael, you know, loved him back. So I think, you know, they probably had a fun time hanging out together this weekend, and I'm feeling good about that. Greg Johnson, you know, I'd say that's a 50-50. I've been hearing, especially over the weekend, a lot more Nebraska lean. So, you know what, we'll give him the Nebraska snagging him. So that was one where on Friday I wasn't quite as sure, and now it seems like it's starting to lean a little bit more in Nebraska's favor. And Damian Daniels, he's been a Nebraska lean for as long as I've been, you know, talking about him this year. So I can't foresee him picking anyone else. I think he would be a great asset to Nebraska, especially as they look, you know, to evolving into a 3-4 defense. And he seems like he has a really great relationship with Nebraska's staff. So I would say you can feel pretty confident about him. As for some of the others, you've got Brian Thompson, who would be an amazing wide receiver to grab. Jeremiah Hawkins, both of those. I would say I'm not thinking that Jeremiah Hawkins is necessarily going to, you know, end at Nebraska. Brian Thompson's a little bit more up in the air as well. So I think, you know, there's still, like we talked about, there's still a little drama mm-hmm. there. I think you kind of have a few guys you can still, you know, hedge your bets on now, but I think you're going to have a few that you're going to want to pay attention to what time they're, you know, going to be making those commitment announcements on Wednesday, because they're going to bring the drama just a little bit too.
Well, and HailVarsity.com has that listed when and where the announcements will be. Of course, the extravaganza of signing day 2017, all with HailVarsity.com, and of course, HailVarsity Radio. And Aaron will be all over it. We'll be all over it with prospects and coaches and reaction on Wednesday. I want to spend 2 seconds here on a number. And Aaron, tell me a number when you look at the composite rankings. Where do you think Nebraska's class ends from a number next to it? What's the ranking? Is it top 20? Is it top 15? Is it outside the top 20 based on some potential drama on Wednesday? What do you think happens with the ranking and that perception?
Well, obviously, if Jameer Calvin ultimately ends up, you know, decommitting and not, you know, signing his letter of intent to Nebraska, that's going to affect things a little bit. Same thing with Guy Thomas, although, you know, Guy Thomas's star rating is a little bit lower, so he wouldn't, you know, affect things too greatly. I think Nebraska is looking somewhere around, you know, I think they'll be in the top 25, depending on kind of how things shake out. I think you're looking somewhere, I would have a hard time seeing it ending in the top 15, but I think, you know, somewhere between like 16 and, you know, 22, the kind of that range where it could be right around 20, and depending on who commits, it could go a little bit higher, it could be a little bit lower, but I don't think that they will drop out of the top 25, obviously. I just, it would take some kind of, to a certain extent, miracle to get them into that top 15, you know, unless, like I said, if nothing happens, if everybody stays committed, other schools have some drama, you never know. I just say right now I'm settling somewhere around like 16 to 22. They'll be kind of in that range.
There you go. 16 through 22 is the number. That's the range. Aaron Sorensen, HailVarsity.com, and magazine at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. And Aaron, about 60 seconds here. What's coming up on HailVarsity.com between now and Wednesday?
Oh, absolutely. We've got a lot of really, really exciting stuff. We're even looking now to Wednesday. We've got things ready to go, but we've got, just like usual, our recaps from over the weekend with visits to getting ready for National Signing Day. We've got a really exciting interview for Wednesday that I do not want to spoil just
all right.
yet. So people will have to stay tuned. It's going to be really exciting. But, you know, we've got everything from info on the walk-on class, my brain is just kind of spinning, but we've got more than I know what to do with. So if you are a recruiting fan, if you're a football fan, doesn't not matter. Heck, if you're even a basketball fan, you're going to have more than you know what to do with on site this week. So I'm really, really excited. We've got some cool analysis, interviews, a lot of things coming up.
Can't wait, and excited to be a part of it. Aaron Sorensen, Recruiting Thoughts, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Aaron, we'll catch up on Wednesday. Thanks for a few minutes.
You bet. Enjoy this last couple of days before the craziness gets going.
Craziness it is, as we thank Aaron Sorensen. We'll talk some recruiting next. Your chance coming up also for a goodie bag from HailVarsity.com. HailVarsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
So I really like doing this because he's in Minnesota. Taunting Jeremiah Searles with pictures of pizza from our friends at Lazard's. Just love doing it. Since he's in Minnesota, he therefore cannot have that giant meat hook of his take a large pizza out of your hands. Let's talk recruiting and how the weekend went. Tyjon Lindsey, friend of the show, quickly in love with Nebraska and had a good time. He visited this weekend, thought it was all it was cranked up to be, had a great time at some of the restaurants and scenery downtown. Michael Onyemaiobi, look at that. Schmidt got it right. It only took him 48 chances, but Onyemaiobi decommitted from Cal. You just heard Aaron talk a little bit about him. He's an athlete. He's a safety. He's got a hold of one of the Heismans in the social media picture, and the F word was used, family. So he is a guy that it's going to kind of come down to between him and Nebraska. And I think Nebraska gets him. I think Nebraska gets him. He's a California kid. So who does Nebraska in danger of losing, you may ask? Well, two names come to mind. Say it with me. Jameer Calvin. And Guy Thomas. Guy Thomas out of Booker T down in Miami. Guy Thomas is a beast off the edge. Guy Thomas is a guy Nebraska was in on immediately because John Perella is awesome at evaluation. And as things have waned, you've had Nebraska 3 weeks ago is when Guy Thomas visited. 2 weeks ago, it was Pitt. Last weekend, it was Louisville. And you got to ask yourself if Nebraska can hang on. Right now, there's been no public decommitment. But ask yourself and do some math here on Louisville. What's Louisville done? Well, they've won. How have they won? They've won with a ton of Miami talent. And that's a Charlie Strong thing that he left Petrino. But they've won with a lot of Miami talent. And when Guy Thomas visited Louisville this weekend, you got to believe Miami dudes got to hang out with Miami dudes. And said, see, it ain't so bad here in thoroughbred country. Got a Heisman winner. Got a guy up with the Vikings. Got some wideouts. Got some defensive dudes. I know Lamar Thomas isn't there anymore. He's at Kentucky. But he had been at Louisville, and he was the key recruiter at Louisville for Charlie Strong. But this would be pretty tough for Nebraska to hang on to Guy Thomas. Guy Thomas is a dude that is in a situation where some of the older brothers, and we talked to his coach, his former coach, and he's got two of them, that family is super important to Guy. Guy's also a dude that is listening intently to his older brothers who've been a part of this process. And I think it is less than 50% that Nebraska keeps Guy Thomas. Just because of that Miami connection, history says Guy Thomas is one of those guys that's going to, no pun intended, maybe take the best offer or the latest offer. He's not been committed and stayed at one place for a very long time, at least not in high school. So if Nebraska, I'll tell you this, Nebraska not only closes like they want to on the defensive line, but if they keep Guy Thomas, that might be a minor miracle. If you got Watts and Thomas and Guy Thomas, all right, that is something that you should high-five about if you're Nebraska. And then you add Damian Daniels to the mix. That's a sweet defensive line class for Coach Perella. Now, of those names I've cranked out, what's the likelihood? Do you get Damian Daniels? Probably. Do you keep Thomas and Watts? Yeah. Do you keep Guy Thomas? Don't know. That's the question. That's the big question. Now, the other guy that is floundering is Jameer Calvin. This per social media. I'm paraphrasing, but something about it doesn't matter till signing day. Either that's a shout out back to Keith Williams, because he sent a tweet out like that, or the old pirate has been working and working and working to get himself a slot receiver. And if you're Nebraska, you have an abundance of riches at slot right now on paper. And Lindsey and Calvin. But can Calvin stay content? He has been all over the Ottoman Empire, brother. I mean, we're talking everywhere. Nebraska, Oregon State, maybe Washington State. I have no good answer for you other than that is one dude I'm not sold on as far as staying with Nebraska. Because it changes daily or weekly. And that's his right. He's got to go where he wants to go. I don't care where he goes. But man, if you're if you're Keith Williams, you've busted it. You've been awesome. So just kind of paraphrasing here the Jameer Calvin tweets, or now I have actual They're in front of me. Signing day, the only day that matters. Most people don't understand how hard the recruiting process really is. Fans and reporters call us unloyal, but don't even know the half of it. And then somebody, Nine God, come be great and perfect and perfect. I can't read today. And perfect your craft against top competition. Join the Coug family. Let's just say that this thing's tedious. Caller 6 right now. Get the hookup. HailVarsity.com, a 6-month premium online subscription. 2 days before signing day. How about that? All the inside info, the latest news. Of course, the message board community. Be there now with us on HailVarsity.com, a 6-month online subscription. Yours. 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free. 1-800-825-5865. All that breaking news you want on signing day, it's right there, HailVarsity.com. And be a part of it with us. A 6-month online subscription, yours. We're paying for it right now at caller 6, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 6 now with Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, big thanks to Charlie McBride, Aaron Sorensen, and Jake Mielheisen today. Tomorrow on the show, Super Bowl participant, as Super Bowl week is here and now, Mike Minter going to be with us. We'll run down Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo, Blackshirt JLB in studio too as we get you geared up for signing day. A quick heads up on National Letter of Intent Day announcements, 3 o'clock Central Time with Joseph Lewis, Greg Johnson, and Damian Daniels, you'll know early morning, all on ESPNU at 10 a.m. Elijah Blades, your safety that'll end up in Lincoln, I think, from Florida at 3 o'clock. Michael Onyemaiobi, that's 2 for me, between 3 and 5 Central Time. And then Brian Thompson, noon Central Time. So keep that dialed in. We'll see about Lenore, Verdell, or Hawkins. And we spent a good chunk of last segment, many of you didn't hear it, Lincoln, because we were off the air. Did you spill something again, TJ? Did you break something?
Nope. Not this time.
This old antiquated equipment.
Yep, just our tower, okay. Out wherever it is.
So I had a brilliant thought or several on Calvin. Nobody heard. Right here.
Afraid not.
It's all right. I can talk to myself, and it doesn't matter, locally. Friends out west, I'm sure, heard it.
Yep.
They're taking notes. How about Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman? Speaking of out west or in Lincoln, locations for you is Sauter Heyman, and the time is now to make that Valentine's Day purchase. The option is now the 1-carat diamond for $100 a month. Don't shortchange your sweetheart, and you can do so that you smile about it. $100 a month. See stores for details, limited time offer. That's with approved credit. But can go visit Sauter Heyman in Lincoln, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln or South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or your friends out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com, YourBestRing.com. Make them a Valentine's Day must and check out their options for that 1-carat diamond, just $100 a month. Well, should we take a couple of callers here for the recruiting goodies again?
Might as well.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to blame you. I'm just saying that there's some voodoo that goes on. I know there's some voodoo going on at 5:20 when we're talking to Aaron. How do you have any hair left? Because, I mean, I project and blame you for everything, and it's not nice.
Just let it bounce off.
In one ear, out the other. Just Schmidt rambling on again. All right, caller 4, caller 5.
Sure.
All right, caller 4, caller 5 for that HailVarsity.com subscription. 6 months. Caller 4, caller 5. We're back on. Give the folks in Lincoln a shot. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4. Caller 5. Here on Hail Varsity. So there you go. A lot of recruiting today. Busy one tomorrow. How do you beat the Patriots? Mike Minter and the Panthers almost did it. We'll talk Super Bowl with a Husker great tomorrow. Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo, and closer to signing day. Take care. Thanks for tuning in. Back at you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.